our brother Gordon Williams.
We're going to turn back, please, to the book of Psalms and Psalm number 110. Psalm 110, verse 1, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb to the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the head over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head." Now may the Lord bless to us the reading of his word with what we've been listening to. If you were here on Lord's Day afternoon, we looked at verse 1 of this psalm. It is a messianic psalm. It is all of Christ. And you will notice that in this lovely little psalm, we have the thought of a Savior who has gone up. He sits at the right hand in glory. In the middle of this psalm, we have something of the present work of the Lord Jesus. If there's a Savior that's gone up, there's a priest who now lives for us in the glory. The psalm ends with the thought of Christ coming back. I said to you, it's a psalm that begins with a statement of deity, and it ends with a statement of humanity. The deity of Christ on the one side, humanity of Christ on the other. It is Christ in exaltation at the beginning. It is Christ in manifestation at the end. It is Christ going upwards to heaven at the beginning. Christ coming backwards to earth at the end. Verse 1, we noted, had three components to it. A divine conversation. You'll notice the divine persons, the Lord, my Lord, in verse 1. You'll notice the divine pronouncement in verse 1. Sit thou at my right hand. You'll notice the divine purpose in verse 1. Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. If there are three parts to verse 1, it is very evident that there are two parts only to verse 7. And could we, in our final moments this evening, look at three aspects in relation to verse 7. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. I'll suggest to you that one aspect has to do with time. The other has to do with circumstance. One, you notice, has to do with location. But the other has to do with this beautiful truth that things have changed as the King comes back. We're going to just take this verse for a few moments, and I'd like to go backward with you in time. To something in the experience of the man who wrote the psalm, the life of David. I'd like to come ahead with you for a few moments, not now to David, but to the son of David, and something in the circumstances of the life of the Lord Jesus. I'd like to go further yet in the future, if we could, and think of something in relation to the coming again of the Lord Jesus. He shall drink of the brook in the way. My mind has gone back now to 2 Samuel chapter 15. In many ways, it's a sad chapter. It's a chapter, you will remember, that is filled with pictures. The tragedy in the life of David is picturesque of what would happen in the life of the son of David. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, you will remember this. The rightful king has been rejected by his people. 2 Samuel 15, you remember, there is a man, the usurper, who aspired to the throne. And the rightful king has been displaced. Now, of course, you know the pictures there. The rightful man has been displaced in our day. Satan's man will one day aspire to the throne. You know that the man of 2 Samuel 15 that aspired to the throne was a man of beauty and a man of pride. He's marked by that. And you'll know in your Bibles, won't you, what that speaks of and where that comes from. This idea of beauty and pride and wanting the place that belongs to another. Aren't those characteristics of Satan? As we look at our Bible. But for a minute or so, in relation to 2 Samuel 15, just very quickly, I'm going to take your thoughts to this. We read that David went out. He went out in shame. He went out in rejection. He went out of the city of Jerusalem. He went out with his head covered. I suggest he went out with his head bowed. He wept as he went. What's the pathway of a David in 2 Samuel 15? Well, you know, of course, because it's a prophetic picture. He's going to leave the city. He's going to cross the brook. He's going to go to the Mount of Olives. That's 2 Samuel 15. But as we think of that, can I just bring these things before you? There is a man called Ittai, the Gittite. He's a man who went with David. Now, there's a lovely theme there. I ask all of us tonight, younger Christian, older Christian, in the day of the king's rejection, there are those who should be with the king in his rejection. Ittai, the Gittite. I won't dwell further on his name or where he's from except to say this. He's an outsider. You check me on it, this Gittite man. What am I saying to you? That it's not one of David's own we're talking about now. It's an outsider. But he loves David. And he wants to be with David in his rejection. I was an outsider. Were you not an outsider? What right did we have? What claim did we have on God? We're not Jews. We're nobodies. But the grace of God has come in. The Christ of God has come. Salvation has come. The man who's the outsider is going to be with the rejected king. That's it, AI. There's a man who would have gone with David.
Hushai.
But circumstances were such that he couldn't. There's a man who should have gone with David, Ahithophel. But he didn't. And there's a man in 2 Samuel 15, Shimei, who had no intention of going with David. Who's he? Oh, listen. He's a Benjamite. He's of the house of Saul, the connection of Saul. He's nothing to do with David. What do we learn of these four in 2 Samuel 15? We learn this. In the day of the king's rejection, there's an outsider that's going to be with the king. We learn there's a man who couldn't because of circumstances. His heart would have been there. I ask you just to think about that, because really I'm thinking, there are those who would love to do things for Christ, but sometimes can't. But I want to say this to you tonight. There's this man called Shimei that cursed David as he went. And yet, that's not what broke the heart of David. Oh Lord, he says, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. There's a man who had been with David. There's a man who had been David's friend, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, hath lifted up his heel against me. There's a man that should have been with David and could have been with David. But he went with the wrong camp. It breaks the heart of a David. It's a prophetic picture of Judas, of course. You know that. But as I think of it, could I ask you this? In this audience tonight, where are we in relation to the rejected king? Where are we in relation to the rejected Christ? Would but couldn't? Should but didn't? I ask you to notice that this man, Shimei, who cursed David, you'll notice this. One of David's men would have taken a sword and taken his head off. David said, let him alone. Let him alone. I learned this, Christians, younger Christians especially, I learned this from that passage. David acknowledges the circumstances of what's happening. And what's this? This man cursing him, throwing stones at him. A willing man with a sword that would take his head off. I apply it this way. What are we to think in the world that you and I live in when the name of our Lord Jesus is cursed? Degraded and all kinds of things. Well, we might say, why doesn't God do something about it? Has God run out of angels? Has God run out of lightning bolts? Let him alone, says David. Let him alone. What's David saying? Christians, there is a day of reckoning coming. The king that goes out will be the king that will come back. And there is a day of reckoning for the Shimei in his cursing of the rightful king. You and I might ask today, when everything seems to go wrong, so much said against Christ and the things of God, why doesn't God step in? I tell you, there's a day coming. The Lord will return. Things will be put right. Those who curse today will crawl then. When I think of this last little verse, He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. The picture of the past is this. There is the rightful king leaving the city, the capital city. He's to flee for his life. You will know in 2 Samuel 15 that David crossed the brook Kidron. We're told that. You will know the advice of the men of David back in 2 Samuel 15. And I take it it's this simple sense. David, run, flee for your life. And the sense I judge is this. David has no time to stop at a brook and drink. David has no time on his way out to drink of any brook. David going out does not lift up his head, as verse 7 tells us. It's the head that's bowed in shame over what Absalom has done. I want you to come with me now just for a moment. Not to David, but to the Gospels, to the Son of David. Will you think with me just for a moment of the Lord Jesus? He came unto his own received him not. But you know that there is a night, not Ahithophel now, but Judas. If it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. It's not Ahithophel now, it's Judas. And Judas has betrayed him. And from the upper room where the Lord has met with his few, he will leave, as the Gospels show us, to go to a place called Gethsemane on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. And then of necessity, the Son of David will cross the brook that David crossed earlier. Our Lord goes out with Gethsemane and with Calvary before him. He goes out to a place called Gethsemane. But in our Bible, you will have noticed this. That all of that in the Old Testament is the mountain of the rejected king. But all of it in our Old Testament, I'm thinking Zechariah 14 now, is the mountain of the returning king. Just for a moment, let me ask you, come ahead to the future. And there is coming a day when the Lord Jesus, who went from Jerusalem across Kidron to Olivet, there is coming a day when from heaven he will descend. His feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives. A lot of things are going to happen. But the future pathway of the Son of David will be from the glory to the mountain, from the mountain to the city. The pathway will be retraced. But what's the difference? He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. And I take it simply means this, that the one who went out in rejection and went out in a hurry will be the one who will come back at his own time and in his own way. Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord Jesus will return. He'll cross the brook if we follow the picture through. No one can say, you've no time for a drink. He's got all the time that he wants. You see, he's coming to take the throne, to establish the kingdom. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Not now the shame of rejection, but the lifted up head, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll enter the rightful city. He'll take the rightful place. They'll be forced to acknowledge him as to who he is. the Lord Jesus is coming again. But for a little moment, at the close of this evening meeting, I think it would be well if we just took a moment or so and said this. Psalm 110, sit thou until, I said to you, there's a commencement of that. There's a duration of that time period. There's a conclusion to that time period. Sit thou has to do then with the ascension of the Lord Jesus. That's the beginning of it. The duration of it will cover what we call the day of grace. But it will also include what we call the great tribulation. Because the conclusion of it here is the Lord's coming in glory. But our Bible is quite clear as to this. That prior to the Lord Jesus coming in glory, prior to this great tribulation period that's ahead of us, you will remember there is a moment when there's going to be the completeness of the body of Christ, the completeness of the church. And when that takes place, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Not now to the Mount of Olives, that'll come later. But He comes to the air. He comes to meet the bride. And in that lovely little picture of Genesis 14, the sun arises, the sun steps out, and the bride is met. There is a day coming. Behold, I show you a mystery, says the apostle. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There is a day coming when a shout will be given. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain. What a wonderful, beautiful thought it is. Our Christians, is the conference over? Before the time, this brother makes an announcement or gives out a hymn. Between now and then, there could be an interruption. A shout could be given. And believers will be gone. Chains to meet the Lord in the air. And forever with the Lord. Our blessed Lord is coming. May we live in the good of it. But remember, the one who went up sits at the right hand. He's up in glory. He'll come back in glory. Drink of the brook of the way. He's retracing the steps. Lift up the head. No longer the shame of the past, but the glory of the future. May God bless His word.